Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is the host of The Awakening, Lucretia Hayes, and I'm happy to be with you guys again on this Friday noontime, having lunch hour with you guys. It is so exciting to have an opportunity to sit down and interview someone who you've watched for quite some time do some amazing things and overcome their own personal challenges, and that's what kind of show we have today. I have the opportunity to share once again my bestie with you, Angela Doctor, and some of her amazing insights and all of that about healing and finding balance and finding courage. She's just an amazing woman in so many different ways, so many things that she's overcome, and she's yet each day striving and creating an amazing life and a wonderful and powerful legacy for her and her children and their children after that. You know, the thing is, for a lot of us, is we don't think beyond our own lifespan. But to create a legacy, you have to think further than just your life. What happens after you're gone? What are you leaving behind for your children or your grandchildren? What name, you know, what things, what have you imparted that's beneficial to them, that's going to help them live a better life than you live? Because, see, when you really love someone, you want them to have it better than you had it. It's not that you want to hold them down, you want to keep them even. You want to be, you don't mind being a stepping stone for them to go higher and further than you ever dreamed of going. Without further ado, let's see if we can get Angela on the line. Angela, are you there?
I am.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I am so excited about today's show. You are an amazing person, so this is going to be a lot of fun because we've done it before, but today's show will be a lot different because you've done some books and all kinds of stuff since the last time we talked.
Yeah, it's been a while since we talked, so I'm really glad to be back.
Yay, good, good. Well, for those of you who don't know Angela, Angela is a bioenergetic technician, which I had never heard of until I met her, and she has been just, I mean, I can't even talk about how instrumental she was in me regaining some balance and control over my life. And then on top of that, she's an author and she's a devoted mom. And so recently we had the pleasure of working together on her book, My Life in Devotion. Deep the Shades of Faith is a beautiful devotional. I say everyone needs to get it early, get it this month, and work your way through it the whole year long. And if you have children, if you're a mom, if you have real people concerns, this book is for you. It's amazing. It's not one of those that's trying to push off her ideology on you, but it's just the questions that she asks in some of these chapters, some of the things she points out. It'll open your mind and have you thinking about things in a whole new way. Angela, what inspired you to write Deep the Shades of Faith?
I wanted my own life to be a testimony to my children, but when I just sit down and share my testimony within the first couple of sentences of talking to people, I can tend to overwhelm people because it comes across as heavy and painful and hurtful. There's abuse and there's marriage struggles and there's living with a severe neurological birth defect that I was born with. And so there's just a lot of heaviness from the outset. And as I just start to throw in the details, people can just focus on those details and not focus on God and the miracles and the healing. And I really just wanted a way to connect with my children, to leave a legacy, to be able to share life lessons with them and say, take your eyes off the circumstances. It doesn't matter that I live through abuse or that I live with a, you know, neurological birth defect and that I have physical challenges that I live with daily. The circumstances we all have and we all face different ones and they don't matter, but the constant underneath that is Christ, and it's what we do with it, and it's our heart, and it's what we make of our choices in our life. And I wanted to get to those points of the miracles with my children, and I wanted to be able to write it in a format that showed my life, even though there are struggles, that my life is devoted to Christ, and to just bring my children back to that and to be able to leave something for them when they become parents, which both of my kids have said, look, they're like, oh, I'm going to use this one on my kid. And so, you know, just leaving that legacy and just being excited. They're 18 and 20 now, so they are fully grown. But it's just really nice because, you know, I had a little bit of rebellion with my oldest for about a year, but it was relatively quick. I mean, so many parents struggle with heart issues and rebellion for years and years and years, and it could have been much worse than it was. And my youngest just really didn't go through that because I've just been open and transparent with them about my life. And I can spend sometimes too much time with my kids going, you know, well, at least you didn't have this growing up. At least you didn't have that growing up. And I can be a little bit hard on them because of they don't have the struggles that so many people face in life. But I just wanted to give them a way to, when they do have struggles, you know, even if they're, you know, not what someone else has lived through, that their struggles really are real and they can, there's a lesson and there's a purpose in that and they can grow from that. So,
wow. You know what I think that really struck me and a couple other people that I had to read the book to review it is that it was a lot of open, honest. It was a lot of open, honest feedback from you about what you felt concerning your life. Okay. And so I think that one of the things that make this book special is it can also focus. It can also make a person focus on what they're doing with their children now, and also keep the family together because it gives your children room to say, okay, this is how my mom interpreted this, and whether that was good or bad, now I understand some decisions that she made when I was growing up. And I'm sorry about the interruptions. I hate when people don't realize I'm actually on the air. I apologize for that. But, yes, we definitely have to have some kind of way to share with our children the decisions we made, why, what was going on, because it isn't enough anymore to just say, do this because I told you to do it. You have to actually show them what things are in play, like is it my health that's causing me to make certain decisions, or maybe my insecurities, or maybe some of the things that we had going on, or maybe some you know, decisions I made here or there that wasn't appropriate, and now, you know, this is the result of that, and we're all going through this together as a family, because whatever the parents go through, the children have to go through just because they're there and they depend upon their parents. So, girl, that was a brilliant book. I just applaud you. I do.
Thank you so much. And, yeah, I just, you know, I hear my husband said when we got married, too, he goes, I wish my parents had told me more. And that's so common to hear. And so I just found age-appropriate transparency to just be a better option with my children. And there was just some things in my life that for my children's own safety reasons that they, certain family members, they couldn't be around. We did have to explain on an appropriate level why they couldn't do this or we couldn't do that. I mean, in some ways they had to learn for their own safety about some things that they wouldn't have otherwise had to learn about. And just also having a mom with medical needs, you know, special needs growing up, you know, there was no hiding that. Their mom was different than other moms, you know, and there's been other things that, you know, my oldest child I've been a little bit more transparent with because that's what she wants, and my son, who is only 18, you know, I'm sure we'll have some additional conversations as he continues to age and mature, but so far he's just been like, Mom, it's okay, I'm good, and so just meeting them where they're at and honoring and respecting, too, that they're not ready. But, you know, my daughter was about 18 or 19 when she called me one day, and she had an insight into my life from a perspective of another family member. And in that one moment, she called me and she goes, Mom, she goes, I'm so sorry. She goes, I just didn't realize what you've had to live with this person for all these years. And she goes, I don't know how you did it. And she, you know, she was like, I'm actually amazed that you turned out normal, we turned out normal, like you made better decisions, you didn't blame it on your experience or your upbringing or anything, you just did better, you know. And but it was very compassionate in that moment that she understood that though I'm not a perfect parent, and I have made mistakes, she could see through the experience of the other family member that why I do some of the things I do and why I am the way I am on some things. And she just had love and forgiveness and compassion. And I think that's what we want most from our children is, or from anybody, is just that love and mercy and grace and forgiveness. And we can't expect to get that from somebody else if we can't give that. And so, you know, one of the devotions in the book does talk about, you know, we weren't born in the wrong family. We weren't born to the wrong parents. We weren't born in the wrong circumstances. I mean, perhaps things went, you know, didn't go as planned in life or weren't as optimal or were definitely maybe not God's plan or God's way. But it doesn't make our life or our situation or our family or our parents, it makes none of that a mistake because he's still God and he's still in control. It is put in our lives and we can either use it for his glory and make a testimony of it or, you know, we can turn around and make bad decisions and excuses from it. So, but it is what we do with it. And I, you know, I wanted that day where I knew I wasn't a perfect parent. I wanted that day, raising my children, that they would have that compassion for me. And so I had to extend that compassion to other people in my life who didn't make the best choices.
You know what? That brings me to really the whole topic of today, which is striking a balance, because it was so many times I was praying for healing during the time when I was sick, and then I was going through a lot emotionally, and my life was off balance, so it didn't seem like no matter how much I prayed for healing, no matter how much better I felt, thing else would come along and topple me right back over. And I was trying to get my body whole without dealing with finding emotional balance and dealing with different mental scars even that I had from childhood. And so that's one of the reasons why I really wanted to do this show too, because you have an amazing insight on getting to the place where you really literally forgive it all, embrace it all, and accept you just how you are. And that's been a theme here on The Awakening for quite some time. It's like you have to love you just how you are. And then in love, you'll make better decisions. When you love yourself, you won't let your life get off balance. You know, some of us are just all into our kids, or we're all into our husband, or we're so all into church that we lose touch with everything else. It's like you need to build up your spirit, yes, but you still have an emotional life. You still have a physical life. All of it together is a gift from God, all of it, not just the spirit. So, Angela, how do you find balance with being married, having children, they're growing up, you're having your own personal struggles, and then you're doing all these amazing things for so many people because you're coaching and you're doing healing and natural remedies and stuff like that for people who are sick, helping them get balance restored. I mean, how do you find a balance in all of that so that you're not overcome by any of it?
I have rough days just like everybody else. Jesus is my rock. And I think, you know, the chapter I wrote on the deepest shades of faith, which, you know, became the subtitle of the book, just really was me pouring out my heart that my life isn't perfect. And I do have very deep wounds. And I have made some poor choices out of hurts and emotions that weren't fixed, situations that weren't healed in my life. But God can redeem them all. And how do I keep it in balance? Coach. I mean, I'm a coach, but I have a coach. I have a trusted inner circle that I go to for prayer and for times, you know, to talk to and for advice. And just, you know, you can't like I said, it can sit and destroy you, or you can get up and fight another day. And, you know, those days can be very difficult and painful. But my children really, they motivate me because I want them to see the victory and not, you know, not just wallow in their own pain. And emotions really are, you know, you talked about I do bioenergetic testing and natural health. That's the other side of who I am. And I literally can work with a client in any disease or illness process. I mean, anything, literally. And you can trace it, most of them back, probably 95 to 99% of them back, to an emotional root. And people aren't getting the connection that, you know, we eat and stuff our feelings, or we drink and stuff our feelings, or we take a pill and stuff our feelings. And but our body is still carrying that message inside. And it can literally, you know, there's now scientific studies out, you know, what the natural health world has known for a long time. And the Bible will talk about, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Those emotions that we carry in our heart, even if we pass them through and we don't, you know, or we seem to pass them through, I should say, and we think we've worked it through, but if we haven't, it becomes a root issue for a disease process to hold on to. It can literally change the environment of our body and our cells. It can change our DNA structure and how it's working, and a disease process can set in. So a lot of times when I'm working with the physical body and an illness, you know, we've got to look at emotions.
Absolutely agree with that, because that's something that in my book, Cascade of Tears, and I can't wait till one day we get a chance to do some events together, because I talk about how I struggled as I waited for them to find a diagnosis, and I was trying to figure out how to, I'm sorry about that. I was trying to figure out how to get some balance in my life with being sick and everything. But the fact of the matter is that long-standing depression that I had from childhood, pretty much all my life, had actually taken a toll on my body. And even now, when I am stressed and I'm going through different things, it's like I can feel it first in my jaw. It's just like when I have a lot to say, and I don't think it'll be heard, or I feel like it maybe don't need to be said. Just when I clench my jaw, I feel that pressure all through my body because I've become aware. But for some of us, we're not aware of what the emotions are actually doing to the physical body. And so we don't see it. We're just upset with our bodies. We feel like our bodies are failing us. But actually, these bodies are a temple. It's no different than your house. And your house is not built to take care of itself. It's built for you to live in, but you have to care for it. And the more care and concern you put into your home, making sure when things break, you fix it immediately, because when you leave fractures, they just cause more and more damage. Any weakness in the structure of anything, including you, only leaves way for other breakdowns to happen. So we have to address the issues that's going on in our life and restore balance as soon as possible. Now, that's not always a fun thing to do, and it's not always something that you want to make your top priority, but it should be. Because at the end of the day, no matter what you accomplish or how far you go, guys, you have to come back to you. You are the one thing you will never get away from. You are with you until the end of time. So because I got to be with me, I might as well love me and be my own best friend and make sure that this temple that I'm dwelling in, peace with one another. That's why we are talking about wholeness and balance. Angie, what do you think would really, really help a lot of us get started? Because some of us, we hear this kind of information and we're like, oh, my God, but it's just so emotional and it's so hard and I don't want to do it. Is it worth it? You've worked your way through so many things. Is it really worth the time that you have to put into looking at who you really are and who you should, you know, what you should be doing, you know, and how you should be loving yourself?
Yeah, it absolutely is worth it. You know, pain, feeling, and emotion is part of any healing process. I mean, when you, let's break it down to something simple. You cut yourself with a knife, you know, maybe you're in the kitchen preparing mm-hmm. dinner and you slice your finger with a knife. What's the first thing you feel? You feel pain, literally, mm-hmm. immediate. You feel an instant pain. And the thing is that if we don't feel that pain, no healing can take place. No healing would need to take place if we didn't feel that pain. If you didn't have that wound, there would be no need for healing. So the fact that you just literally connect with, ouch, that hurts, and you feel that pain, that's your first moment that you can start the healing process. Whether it's that first moment of feeling anger or sadness, or for me, it's, you know, I've battled with weight for a lot of my life. Part of that is physical because of my neurological disability, but part of it was literally just stuffing emotions. So, you know, instead of being angry and going to the fridge and getting something to eat, it was like, okay, I'm angry, owning that moment. You know, I don't need to stuff that feeling. I don't need to make that go away. I need to acknowledge that, and I need to process that. And, you know, slowly through time, you know, you can face it and deal with it, write it out through a letter, talk to a friend or a counselor, take it to prayer, journal it. There's lots of different ways. But each time that you acknowledge that, instead of covering it up, it becomes an easier process. It's not like you're going to wake up tomorrow and be healed. Just like a wound doesn't, you know, it doesn't heal overnight. But continuing just to cover it up with a Band-Aid and pretending it's not there does not heal the wound itself. But the heart will heal when we acknowledge, you know, what it needs.
And now I want to bring out something else too, guys, because a lot of times we hear stories about people who have overcome great difficulties and we say, oh, well, my life isn't that bad, so maybe I don't need it. Or then sometimes we'll say, well, that person was strong and I don't know how. And it's just always excuses are plentiful. You can just reach up in the sky and pull them down. If sometimes I have been talking to people about various things, and instead of acknowledging that they needed the information, they immediately combated it by questioning my authority to tell them this, that, or the other. And here's the thing, guys. You don't have to listen to anything we say on this show, but it won't hurt us because we're working through our issues. But if you will just take a moment to believe again that you can have a better life, that you can walk in a place of wholeness and healing, and you can walk this path of freedom, and then you begin to apply these principles. And in fact, I want to give you guys three quick principles to work on when you get ready to start healing from any kind of emotional, physical, or spiritual trauma, because sometimes we do go through spiritual traumas also. But the first three things you really have to do is first acknowledge, you know, and then you have to accept. And then once you acknowledge and accept, and all of this done in love, not fear, like, you don't want to be afraid of it. You want to be okay with who you are. It's like, okay, these are the things that happened in my past. Like, for instance, with me, the abuse, the sexual abuse, the physical abuse, the parental abandonment, all of these different things, growing up in poverty and all of that. These are the things. That's just what it is. You know, I had a baby. I had two children before I was 18. And so for all of the stuff that lies in my past, for so long I was ashamed. But once I accepted it, okay, this is who I am. I can't get away from it. This is all the things that has happened, and these are the things I feel, and that's just how I feel. Once I accepted it, I realized that I can change it. Because, guys, guess what? You can't give away something that don't belong to you. Until you acknowledge that, accept the fact that these are the things and acknowledge that they're yours, you can't give them to God. It's counterfeit. So those are the three principles. It's like you have to acknowledge it, you have to accept it, and then you give it to God, and you trust him in love that he's going to do what he said he's going to do in the Bible. Now, here's the thing for people, because I have a lot of people who listen, Angela, and they're not Christians. And the thing that I realize is that evangelizing and winning souls is not about trying to make people accept Jesus Christ as much as it's about sharing your own experiences and why you know for you that this is the right path. For those who don't necessarily believe that the Bible is right and that Jesus Christ heals and God and all of that, I'll tell you this. The principles of God work whether you believe in them or not. So try it anyway. You know, just try it anyway and see what happens. What's the worst that could happen? At the end, you're still hurting, but you're hurting anyway. And my thing is, I don't want any of you to have that mentality that you're willing to lay down and die while you're hurting, while you're off balance, while your life is miserable or whatever's going on with you. I don't want you to have that mentality. I want you to have the mentality that you are going to make it through this in a healthy way. Angela, we are down to about the last 8 to 10 minutes of the show. I want you just to share your heart with the listeners and, you know, let them know what's really going on, how to get in touch with you, how to get your books, and what you have planned for us in the future.
Well, two things just from taking off of what you were just speaking about is that God doesn't want us to sit in fear and shame and silence. And we tend to think we can all get to a place where things in life are bad, or we've made wrong decisions, or whatever the case may be, or we live through it. And Satan wants us alone and silent, because then we can get desperate and sad and anxious and depressed and suicidal and all of that. And that is not from God. That is not what he wants. And like you said, as soon as we acknowledge and we own it, and we step up and we speak out, even to one person, just that first time of saying, I lived through this, or I did this, or whatever the case may be, it doesn't matter. And this goes back to the chapter, The Deepest Shades of Faith. I wrote it in that moment of realizing that he died for whatever that circumstance is in your life, whatever that circumstance was in my life. He died for that exact thing. And I didn't have to sit in fear. I didn't have to sit in shame. I didn't have to sit in guilt. That's why he came, and that's why he died. And I was, you know, before I hit that moment, it was like, oh, yeah, he died for you for that. And, oh, yeah, he died for this person for that. But I wasn't owning that my struggle is what he died for, too. And he doesn't think I'm any less unloved or unworthy or undeserving than the next person. I'm a child of his, you know. And so as soon as I own that and acknowledge it and share it, I immediately lift that wall of silence and shame and guilt and fear. And you tell the first person, and then you tell the second person, and it's just day by day. And then, you know, a year from now, 6 months from now or whatever, it's your testimony. You know, it's no longer something that destroys you. It's a piece of who you are. It's your victory. And the second thing is belief is actually really huge, because you can sit and believe that he will heal you of something, that he, you know, well, if he was really God, he would just miraculously do this. But he waits for us to come to him, too. He doesn't force himself on us. And so you can believe that he's going to do some miracle, but there might be some steps in there that he's waiting for you to take, you know, forgiveness and acknowledgement and you know, maybe going and talking to someone and working some things out or whatever. It's going to be different for all of us. But if you're sitting and waiting for that miracle, but you're not doing the steps that you need to do to get there, you can believe all you want he's going to do it. But he needs something from you. It's a relationship. Belief in Christ is a relationship. And so it requires effort on both parts. He absolutely can do a miracle. Absolutely, 100%, no effort on our part. But because we're in an intimate relationship with him, many times there are things that we need to do in that relationship as well. So that's just what was on my heart from what you were sharing before. So, and both of those topics are in the devotional as well. So how are we doing on time?
We have a couple more minutes. If you'll share your websites and ordering information or anything like that so that people can get in touch with you. And also a little bit about how people can learn more about the bioenergetic testing.
Everything is on my website, which is createdtobe.com, and it's created, the number 2, and the letter B as in boy, .com. Do not spell out the word B, B-E. So createdtobe.com. The books are there. Of course, the books are on Amazon, and the books can be ordered as well through through the media house, Lenico Media. You can get that website. Sorry, I don't know it off the top of my head. So there's different ways you can order the books. All about the bioenergetic testing is on the website as well. It's just a great way to eavesdrop in on the communication of the body, to kind of hear what it's telling you emotionally, physically, any disease process that you might be battling, I can help you address.
Wow. Angela, thanks for being a guest. We'll definitely have to do this again really soon. Guys, make sure you go to createdtobe.com and look at some of the things that she has. And don't forget to get My Life in Devotion, Deepest Shades of Faith. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and also LanicoMediaHouse.com. Guys, thank you for listening in. I hope you will use this information. Angela, you go have a blessed day. Y'all be blessed.
Thanks.